all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, talking all this month about my new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And under the chapter titled Urban Legends, let me highlight one of those urban legends. It's not one of the legends that you can simply smile about, but it has real ramifications for the life of a believer. For example, he talks about a study done by the United States military. And in that study, he says that researchers actually extracted white blood cells from a volunteer, and then they carefully placed the white blood cells in a test tube. They then put a probe from a lie detector machine down into the test tube. Next, they instructed the volunteer to go and watch some violent old war movies. And even though the blood was being tested in another room, when the man watching the movies got all uptight, the lie detector shot off the page. Why? Because Joel Osteen says it was detecting his emotional response, even though the blood was no longer in his body. He then goes on to say that the United States experimenters did this with person after person after person with the exact same results, and all of that to prove his unbiblical notion of generational curses being passed on down through the DNA of a person's bloodline. While spinning legends about bees dying in outer space because of a failure to use their wings, or monkeys captured with their hands in the proverbial banana bin, truth is a consistent casualty. But here's the real problem. So is Scripture. Along with urban legends and unsubstantiated stories is the ever-present specter of what I call script torture, or the torture of Scripture. One of the classic examples in the book comes from Matthew chapter 15. And in that chapter is the story of a woman who came to Jesus and asked her to heal her daughter. But Jesus didn't give her the time of day, according to Joel Osteen. Instead, he ignored her. Why? Because she was begging. Once she made a transition from begging to believing, then she caught Christ's attention, and as a result of her positive affirmations, her daughter was healed. Sounds good. After all, Joel says it's in the Bible. But is that actually in the Bible, or is that the Osteenification of the Bible? We'll take a moment to compare what Joel says to what the Bible says, and you'll find out that this is a classic example of Osteenification. In other words, using the Scripture to communicate whatever you want to say, as opposed to taking out of the Scripture what the Holy Spirit has placed there. The point that Jesus made, and again, you can read this in Matthew chapter 15, the point that Jesus made and the point that Joel makes are polar opposites. Joel speaks about a woman in the Scripture who was a beggar instead of a believer, but Jesus spoke of a woman in the Scriptures who begged because she believed. In fact, Jesus praises the very greatness of her belief. That is crystal clear if you read Matthew chapter 15. The wholeheartedness of her understanding and really her acceptance of his messianic mission was to Jesus, well, you might say, a sweet-smelling savor. It was a grand testament to her faith. Nowhere do the scriptures suggest that the woman realized that begging wasn't going to do her any good, as Joel says, and therefore switched over into praise. That, again, is ostinification. And again, that word, ostinification, while having primary reference to Joel Osteen, is a word that I codified because this is what is happening in pulpits throughout the land. The Bible is being used or abused as a point of departure so that people can communicate whatever they want to communicate. The Osteenification of American Christianity, available all this month for your ongoing support of the Christian Research Institute. And may I humbly add that your support is much needed right now. January, we ran a deficit. It was a fairly small deficit in that we caught up towards the end of the month, but not completely. And then in February, we added to that deficit, and that deficit now tops $100,000. And what that ultimately means is we have to either make up that deficit or go off radio stations. It's as simple as that. And so I need your help. If you can help this month by transitioning from a donor to a partner, that means joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, that would mean a great deal because it provides a solid base of financial support. And if you can make your best gift, a quick way in which we can have those resources for radio time and so forth is when you give on the web at equip.org. You can go to the web, equip.org, and see right there precisely how you can give in a safe, secure fashion. You can also send your best gift via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or via the phone by simply talking to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I also want to read just a couple of testimonies that really touched me. They were given to me as I came into the studio. One is from Rachel, and this one in particular touched me. I read it just 5 minutes ago, and I won't read the whole thing, but this is what she says in part. Hi, Hank. I'm excited to write to you about how listening to your show has equipped me to reach others. I conducted my very first Bible study tonight at the nursing center I volunteer at. I could hear your voice in my head as I parroted your words. And after the Bible study ended, I was talking to one of the other residents, and I heard her speaking to someone else about the Bible study, and it just put a smile on my face to hear it. So thank you very much, Hank. You are a huge blessing, and quite frankly, the reason I started to do the Bible study at the center. You gave me the courage. I know that's how you started, and I wanted to follow in your footsteps. I'm just on cloud nine right now. May God continue to bless you richly for all you do in His name. And she's absolutely right. I mean, I remember the early days of my ministry where I would go into a nursing home and I would wheel the patients in a semicircle, or actually in a circle, and then I'd stand in the middle and I would speak to them from the Word of God. And then I'd answer their questions. And boy, did I find out that I didn't have many answers. They would ask me questions, and I couldn't answer the questions, and I would research and return, and they were always happy to see me because so many of them weren't even visited by their family. So it was a wonderful experience for me, and now to see that others are doing it is a great delight. One other testimony, and this is by Benny, who says, I'm always inspired and encouraged every time you answer questions and tackle the tough ones. The topic of hell needs to be taught more and more in churches. Keep up the good and godly work. The world needs more men like yourself. The Lord bless and be with you and the entire staff of the Christian Research Institute. I'll do one more. This is Mickey. It's only 7 words or so. I can't imagine a world without Hank and CRI, the Christian Research Institute. And again, these testimonies are very encouraging, but also maybe a reminder that the gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing, and we ask you to consider prayerfully what you could do to stand with this ministry and become part of our staff, not necessarily internally, but the external staff, as it were, is every bit as significant. Once again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up is Chris, listening in Washington, Missouri, on Bot Radio. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Hank. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for asking. Long-time listener and supporter of your ministry.
Oh, bless you.
Love listening to you every day. Question for you. I'm a big history nut, and I was watching a show. This was a while back now, and they were talking about the Book of Enoch from the Bible that was allegedly a part of the Bible, later cut out, and I just didn't know how to take it. I was wondering if you're familiar with the subject.
I am familiar with the subject, and it is simply incorrect to say that it was in the Bible and then later taken out of the Bible. What's correct is to say that Enoch was well respected in New Testament times. And therefore, when Jude quotes Enoch, it doesn't mean that the Book of Enoch was inspired in the same sense of supernaturally revealing new truth. Rather, Jude simply found the quotation from Enoch to be a helpful confirmation of truth that was already known. So the idea that it's part of the Bible that's taken out simply is untrue. But what is true is that all truth is God's truth. And therefore, New Testament writers often appeal to literature that their hearers would be familiar with in order to make a point. And that's precisely what Jude does in quoting the Book of Enoch.
Okay. One more quick question.
Sure.
As far as ossification goes, one, I agree with everything you've said thus far about it, and I really want to get your book. It sounds quite intriguing, actually. My question is, as far as that goes, you know, of all the ministries out there that know the Bible, why would they think that they can quote stuff like that and not been called on it so far by anyone besides yourself?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. We were just before the show talking about Joseph Prince in the same fashion, where he says, check it out, nowhere in the Bible will you find any reference to the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin. Well, you wonder how someone can have the temerity to say something like that, because a quick search of the Bible demonstrates that that is utterly false. And this is the same kind of thing that Joel Osteen is doing. He is banking on the fact that his listeners are not biblically literate. If you look at some of the auditoriums, he has a ritual at the beginning of his message where everybody holds up their Bible and waves the Bible in the air and says something to the effect of, this is my Bible and I believe what it says. But then he starts off in his sermon spinning urban legends or torturing the Scripture. He'll say, the Bible says or Scripture says, and no one calls him on it, which means that they're not reading the very Bible that they say they believe in. And this has been one of the real criticisms that have been made by people like Bishop Shelby Spong, who also doesn't believe that the Bible's the infallible repository of faith and practice. But one of the things he points out is Christians that do most often don't read the very Bible they pretend to defend. And I think that is, at the end of the day, the real problem. We're living in the shadow of the Bible as opposed to living in the pages of the Bible. In a biblically literate society, a Joel Osteen simply would not be able to get away with what he's doing. And one of the things I want to make absolutely clear, this is not like looking for a mistake that he made somewhere. In going through his 6 number one bestsellers or listening to his sermons, you can stop on virtually every other page and you have another example of the torture of Scripture or using the Scripture to communicate whatever he wants to communicate. And this is no small thing. If you think about this for a moment, we can't be glib about it because this is God-breathed. This is inspired by the Holy Spirit. He moved men to write the very words of Almighty God, and now they are being prostituted. And as you allude to in your question, no one seems to even bat an eye. And when you do, people say, well, I'm going to stop supporting you because you're being divisive. No, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. But remember, in essentials, unity, we cannot pervert the precious Word of God. We'll be right back.
Christianity is under attack, but the enemy isn't who you think it is. The enemy is a new kind of so-called Christianity that exchanges the glory of the cross for the glory of consumerism. Hank Hanegraaff exposes this false religion in his new book, The Osteenification of American Christianity, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request yours when you go online to equip.org with your gift today. That's equip.org. Stay with us. There's more from Hank Hanegraaff coming up next. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. I am blessed. I am prosperous. My God is a supersizing God. These self-affirmations from Houston preacher Joel Osteen are leading millions of people across America and around the world astray. And Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book to combat this new brand of Christianity that you need to get today. It's called The Osteenification of American Christianity, and it's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call to request your copy today, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Donna. She's listening in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. Bot Radio. Hi, Donna.
Hi. I'm glad to get to talk to you. I've thought about calling you a lot of times. I've been wondering about the Jimmy Swaggart ministry. It's on TV, and his wife, Frances, has a question and answer show, and they discuss the Bible. What do you think of there? I don't understand what the differences and what you preach.
Well, you know what I think is really important in all of this is to become so familiar with the truth that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, you'll know it instantaneously. For example, Jimmy Swaggart teaches that within the Godhead, there are three separate and distinct persons, each one having his own personal spirit body, personal soul, and personal spirit. Not only that, but this was a man who was very involved in teaching years ago a prosperity gospel, and then when his moral failures came to light, he was defrocked by the Assemblies of God, and instead of submitting to the authority of the denomination, what he did was he referred to it as a cult, and so he never really took the necessary time to be rehabilitated in his ministerial activities as the Assemblies of God wanted him to be. So I have not really followed him much since he made it back to television. He was off for a long time. I mean, at one time he was with Rex Humbard and Jim Baker and I guess the three of them would have been the three biggest names on Christian television.
I remember hearing all of them.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate your answer. Thank you very much.
Oh, Donna, thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines now, and we'll talk to Brad in Mesa, Arizona, listening on the web. Hi, Brad.
Hi. I had a question about a scripture in Ephesians chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I've wrestled with, and more specifically, my friend has wrestled with his fiance died a few years ago, and just the scripture, like where it says, "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with a promise. I was wondering if you could just kind of expound on that, like what exactly is Paul talking about there, like when he's, how should we think about that as like a promise, basically?
Well, I mean, Ephesians as a whole is one of the divinest compositions in the Bible, and Paul neatly divides it between doctrine and the application of that doctrine, and before he gets to the full armor of God, whereby we can take our stand against principalities and powers of darkness, he talks about children and the necessity for children to obey their parents in the Lord. Because that is what is right. We're called to honor your father and mother. That's a commandment that we have been given in the Old Testament and certainly is never abrogated anywhere else. But Paul adds to this that this is not only the first commandment, but it is a commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. What's interesting is that Paul is consistently reciting Old Testament passages. In other words, he was a disciple of the famed Gamaliel, and he really knew the Word of God. And therefore, what he is doing now, in essence, is not just citing, but in a sense, repackaging Deuteronomy chapter 5, as well as another passage that Exodus chapter 20. So those two passages, he's repackaging, as it were, to make the point that the Old Testament promise anticipated entrance into the promised land, and then if you obeyed the laws of the Lord, and this is the first, with a promise, then you would remain in the land. But if you did not, the land would spew you out just as it did those who were in the land before you. So Paul here is expanding on the promise, and it is very similar to what he does in Romans chapter 4, where he says Abraham and the offspring of Abraham would be heirs of the world. And in this sense, if we do what we are called to do, we will, as Jesus put it, inherit the earth. The meek will inherit the earth, or the meek will inherit the world. So the idea is we will forever not only be with our mother and father, albeit in a different relationship and the greatest size, but we will be with the Lord of glory as well. So it's a promise that if we follow the ways of the Lord, we will have an eternal, not just a temporary relationship, not only with our loved ones, but with the Lord in eternity.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I guess that's even a lot better than just living a long time like right here and now. That makes sense.
Yeah, you know, the
eternal, that's good.
Yeah, the most horrible thing is not to die young. The most horrible thing is to live a long, robust life and never use it in service of the Master. I was watching a golf tournament. I won't mention the person, but he's an icon, one of the wealthiest men in the world. And I was kind of looking at him and seeing that he had aged quite a bit and thinking about the fact, with all of his billions, how would it be at the moment that his soul leaves his body? And I guess that, at the end of the day, is what each one of us has to ask ourselves as we use our time, whether at the Christian Research Institute or whatever your vocation is, as we use our time, as we raise our families, are we doing it with eternity in mind? As we give, are we doing it with eternity in mind? That's the real issue, because the truth of the matter is life is but a vapor. I still remember sitting in the studio in 1988 and then 1989. In fact, I had this incredible experience where there was an earthquake, and I saw the microphone. It was a boom microphone at the time. Now I'm wearing a headset, but it was going back and forth. And I was thinking about, that seemed like it was yesterday. That was 1988. Now we're in 2014. I could not in those days have imagined 2014. And I look at myself in the mirror and say, is that the same guy? Because I look a whole lot different than I did at that time. For one thing, I had hair, and I didn't have as many wrinkles, and had a little less weight, and all of those things. But in the end, you realize that life really is, you know, but a vapor. I look at the obituary section every single day. I know it's morbid, but my wife taught me to do it. And I see those smiling faces looking back at me, and I'm always stunned by the fact, I have to kind of catch myself and recognize, those people are no longer on the planet. One moment they were, then there was a crushing pain in the pericardium or the crashing of glass, or they died of old age. But some of the people that are looking at you are fairly young, and you recognize the brevity of life. But here we recognize Paul underscoring the fact that the meek will inherit the earth, and that is an eternal promise.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. There's so many callers hanging on. We'll talk to Louis, Chicago, Illinois, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Louis.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. My question tonight is, how can we be certain that the Bible is the inerrant word of God?
Well, you know, there are a lot of reasons we can be certain about that. One of the things I did in maybe the crowning jewel of my writing career was write a book called Has God Spoken? And in that book, I demonstrate that the Bible is, in fact, the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. And I do that using the acronym MAPS. MAPS remind you, first and foremost, the M of manuscript copies. And we are so blessed because we have a Bible that's buttressed by all kinds of manuscripts. And because of that, textual critics can compare manuscript with manuscript and get back to the autographa or the original. Now, manuscript copies is a lot more involved than that because copies is actually a sub-acronym where you can remember the copyist practices, the oral tradition, papyrus and parchment, internal evidence, external evidence, and what I just talked about, the science of textual criticism. But the second category, the A in MAPS, reminds you of the archaeologist's spade, and with virtually every turn of the archaeologist's spade, we have more and more confirmation that what is secreted or was once secreted in soil corresponds to what is inscribed in the scriptures. For example, it wasn't all that long ago, 2004, that skeptics thought that John's pools were only adhered to by fools, which is to say anybody that believed in the description of the Pool of Siloam and the Pool of Bethesda were, well, laboring under a religious conceit. They believed it because they wanted to believe it. They didn't believe it necessarily because it was true. They just wanted to believe it. Well, then in 2004, they began excavating at a particular point in Jerusalem and excavated the Pool of Siloam. Also, the Pool of Bethesda has been excavated, and you find out that even the minute particulars correspond to reality. So it's not just the people and the places, but actually the particulars. The third reason, the P in MAPS, reminds us of prophecy. Prophetic stars, as I call them, in the constellation of biblical prophecy, that could not possibly be pawned off to good guessing, common sense, or even luck, demonstrate that these are the words of God. And God himself says, these are words that I gave you so that you might know, and knowing you might believe, because I told you beforehand, and it's come to pass exactly as I said it would. And then the S in MAPS reminds you of what I think is really important, and that is the whole idea, if in fact the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, the question arises, what has God said? And under the S, I give you scriptural lights. And that, in essence, is the art and science of biblical interpretation. And I give all these passages that skeptics to the Bible use to try to discredit the Bible. For example, Barack Obama uses some passages to say that the Bible teaches slavery, or the Bible teaches you to stone your child if he's straying away from the faith, or that eating shellfish is an abomination. I show you through the art and science of biblical interpretation how to contextualize all of this, how to read this in the sense in which it's intended, as opposed to in the way that the skeptics do. So again, that book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I probably labored as hard over that book as I did over anything I've written to date, and I know it could be a blessing to you. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. A lot of interesting question on the board. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book you need to get your hands on,
Called The Osteenification of American Christianity, this important resource shines the light on one of the biggest threats to the church in America and around the world. And it shows how you can defend yourself against its lies that can leave you spiritually naked and vulnerable. The Osteenification of American Christianity is our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI with your gift and request it. 888-7000-CRI. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Houston preacher Joel Osteen is the de facto high priest of a new brand of Christianity perfectly suited for a feel-good generation. He's the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that is nothing more than a cultish movement. Hank Hanegraaff has written a book that combats Osteen's false teachings with truth, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please go online to request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, equip.org. That's equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. You can also get your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity on by talking to one of our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Or simply writing me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And we are all this month asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially so we can stay on radio stations around the country. We used to do radio-a-thons or, I don't know, fundraisers over the radio, and then I stopped doing them because I want to answer questions. I want to do what God has called me to do. But every now and then I think that I need to spend some time letting people know just how important it is to stand with our ministry, not only prayerfully, but in a tangible way, financially as well. So if you could do that, it would mean the world to people who need to hear the truth of the gospel. Only when life soon will be past, only what's done for Christ will last. You can give in a safe, secure fashion, as mentioned, on the web, equip.org. When you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you talk to one of our resource consultants, that number, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dean in Wichita, Kansas. Dean is listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Dean.
Thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I appreciate your ministry. You have no idea how much you've helped me through the years. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
The question I have, I was looking in Hosea chapter 11, and right off the bat in that chapter, it says that I have called my son out of Egypt. And as you read through the text, it seems as though God is speaking about Israel. And then I was reading in Matthew chapter 2, and it says that the prophecy was fulfilled when the Lord called his son out of Egypt, and he's talking about Christ, when his parents were hiding Christ from the ruler that wanted to kill him. My question is what is those two things actually happened, of course, in history, but was the first one, when Israel was called out of Egypt, a precursor to show what would happen to Christ?
Yeah, you kind of have an idea of what's going on, but this is something that I spent a lot of time on in terms of examples in my book, Has God Spoken? Because skeptics oftentimes say, look, the Bible could not possibly be the Word of God because the New Testament is really contradicting the clear teaching of the Old Testament. And at the root of all of this is a failure to understand the difference between typological prophecy and predictive prophecy. So let's cash that out for a moment because, again, once you learn the difference between the two, you can answer the question of particularly Jewish skeptics who very clearly understand that this refers to Israel. Because if you look at the full context, and I point this out again in my book, Has God Spoken? The text actually says, talking about Hosea 11:1, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. So it has to make skeptics quite concerned to hear Christians pretend that this is fulfilled in Emmanuel as opposed to being fulfilled in Israel. And yet that is precisely, as you just pointed out, that's precisely what Matthew says is going on. Matthew says, Joseph got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And then, says Matthew, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. So Matthew very clearly is applying this to Emmanuel, to Jesus. And this has to do, again, with what we call typological prophecy. And typological prophecy has imbued within it the idea of historical correspondence between Israel's sojourn in Egypt and then the sojourn of Emmanuel in Egypt. And this is not a random thing. It's a divinely intended pattern of events that is intensified in Jesus Christ. By the way, the virgin prophecy is very similar to this. But beyond the historical correspondence, there's also a corresponding escalation of the type in the antitype. So the type is Israel, the antitype is Emmanuel. And here's how it goes. Emmanuel did what Israel could not do. Israel succumbed to the wiles of the world. Israel succumb to the flesh, to the devil. All of that happened during the desert sojourn. But Emmanuel, true Israel, triumphed over every trial and over every temptation. So what Israel could not do, Emmanuel did. And even that, as I point out in my book, is but grasping a thread on the underside of the tapestry of typology, because the type is impregnated with a pattern by which the majesty of the antitype can be fully appreciated. Jacob and his sons were designated sons of God by adoption. Jesus is designated the Son of God in unique and absolute fashion. So the overarching point, Dean, is that we're trying to underscore the need to make a careful distinction between predictive prophecy, like maybe Micah chapter 5:2, which finds fulfillment in Jesus' birthplace in Bethlehem. So you have the prophecy in Micah 5:2, and interestingly enough, in terms of alliteration, you find the fulfillment in Matthew 2:5, so kind of easy to remember. And the distinction between that and typological prophecies such as Hosea 11, which are typologically fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And only when the elegance of typology is fully comprehended is the mystery of Scripture more fully apprehended. So typology is a beautiful thing in Scripture. Scripture is rife with typology, and to understand the principle helps you read the Bible for all it's worth, but also helps you deal with skeptics.
Understand. Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Hank. And can I ask one more quick question?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, when I'm looking at John the Baptist, we're doing a study on him. When Jesus says that there was no greater man than John the Baptist, or before John the Baptist, when he says that, and when John the Baptist is telling people to make their way straight before the Lord and repent and be baptized, is that why Christ says that about John the Baptist, or is it because of what he is saying in that, you know, repent so you can be saved, and I will be the person who will save you? Is that why he says that about John the Baptist?
Well, let me leave that for another show. I've answered that question quite a number of times on the air, and if you actually go to our, I don't know if you have the Equip app, but if you go to Apple, on the Apple or Android, you'll find this archived.
Okay.
Or else I can send you a transcript. But this is a common question about John the Baptist. It takes some explaining, and in fairness to the other callers, I'll just leave that in abeyance for right now.
Okay, thank you, Hank, very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines, and David in Olathe, Kansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, David.
Hi. Hey, good to talk to you. Hey, I'm thrilled to see your new book, The Osteenification of America. I think that is a fantastic thing in putting out a book like that. I'm amazed at how many people seem to fall for the kind of teachings put out by Osteen as well as others like him. And of course, I'm not trying to say anything against these individuals on a personal level, but just as far as the realm of the teachings or the doctrines go, it's being put out by fellows like Osteen. I'm just so surprised that many, even very educated people who seem to have a very good head on their shoulders, for some reason fall hook, line, and sinker for this stuff. And to have a book like yours coming out is just, I think, a fantastic thing. So I just want to make that comment. And then my question is kind of piggybacks along that comment. Why do so many people who are intelligent and educated fall for the kinds of things taught by Osteen and others like him?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I really appreciate the prologue to your question. I don't think this is about judging any person's motives. I don't think that we have the ability to do that. We can make educated guesses, but I don't think it's proper for either you or I to judge the motive. I want to leave that in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And of course, Jesus is very clear. We should judge when we judge with a right standard. Jesus is very clear that we should judge If you don't discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light, you're going to be headed for all kinds of problems. But we should never judge self-righteously or hypocritically. But in answer to your question, I think that the primary reason that people fall for this is because they don't know the Word of God. And if you don't know the Word of God, then you're going to fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie. Satan, and I'm not calling Osteen Satan, but just by way of the prime mover of evil, Satan never presents error in its naked deformity. If he did, we wouldn't take a bite of the apple. We would recognize that there's poison on the way. So what he does is he makes it shimmer and glimmer. It looks oh so good. In fact, that is the subtitle in the book. There's a way that seems oh so right, but in the end, it leads to death. So people hear the Osteenian self-affirmations, I'm prosperous, I'm anointed, my God is a supersizing God, but they forget that behind the affirmation is a darker hue. Behind the smile is this robust emphasis on that which is negative. Because on the one hand, he's talking about health and wealth. But on the other hand, he's saying that if something bad happens, and he makes no bones about it, he says this is a spiritual principle, and it always works. If something bad happens, you are the prime suspect. And in fact, I mentioned this on the show the other day. He gives an example of a church worker, and he talks about what a wonderful person this church worker was, what a great Christian. But that church worker died early, according to Osteen, because he was making negative confessions. Again, you can read about it in the Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's one of the reasons we say you got to become so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. The book, at the end of the day, is going to teach you discernment skills. It's going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, be patient. I will get to you. And if you're dialing in, the number in the U.S. or Canada to get your question answered for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. As I close the live broadcast today, let me mention once again how much we need your support. The quickest way we can use those resources for God's glory is through the web, equip.org.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable?
Well, Equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well-researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At Equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make Equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org.